Live from the College of Communication, Arts and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's Current Sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Yeah, looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cats.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? It is another gorgeous day here in mid-Michigan. It is the winter time, of course, and it's not too cold outside. You know, the sun is out, the birds are chirping, the sky is blue, and it's a great day to be alive here as we roll along in the first month of 2020. And thank you so much for allowing Current Sports to be a part of what is your Tuesday afternoon, January 7th. All right, folks, a lot to get to on today's Current Sports. You know, on yesterday's Current Sports, we had so much discussion centered on the Michigan State men's basketball team, and deservingly so, seeing as though Michigan State was able to get that blowout victory over in-state rival Michigan on Sunday afternoon inside of the Breslin Center. Cassius Winston having a career day. And Michigan State right now is the only team in the Big Ten Conference that is undefeated when it comes to that beloved Big Ten record. So we spent the majority of the hour breaking down that game, discussing the historical implications of that performance from Winston, and discussing just how good this team can get as the year progresses, okay? So much so that we didn't get a chance to talk about some NFL news. The NFL right now is leading sports headlines everywhere because of the coaching carousel that is taking place. Many head coaches for many different teams in the league are finding new homes. And there have been some interesting picks. I'll just say that. I did briefly touch upon the hiring of Mike McCarthy for my Dallas Cowboys. I don't have a problem with it. I think it's a safe hire. And we'll see what Mike can do. I'm not... I'm disappointed. I'm not, you know, about to throw a party because Mike McCarthy is now our head coach, but I like it. Good pick.
Wrong.
Safe pick. Now, Jack doesn't agree. Jack Kerwin behind the glass, he doesn't agree. But, again, this team has a lot of talent, and Mike McCarthy has a ring. Not too many head coaches out there that can say that. But I do want to dive into some really interesting stories concerning some playoff teams who are still alive and a few who aren't in this year's NFL playoffs. It was a wild, wild card weekend, wasn't it? One that saw the defending Super Bowl champions in the New England Patriots take a fall. And now Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, that relationship, that synergy that has created one of the most highly touted dynasties in all of North American sports history. Well, who knows now if Tom and Bill will continue that relationship come next season. We'll discuss the future of Tom Brady. Also, again, I'm not abandoning any college basketball talk here on today's Current Sports because we will also welcome to the show a late addition, Deshaun Tate from CBS Radio in the ATL, Atlanta, 92.9 The Game. Deshaun Tate, you'll get Tate's take on the Spartans, and we'll take a wide, broad look at what's happening in college basketball right now, as really no team has exerted dominance over the rest of the college basketball field. So much parity. We say that every year, I feel like, right? Excuse me. So we'll be diving into that with Deshaun. And then on the back end of the show, I do briefly want to touch upon the Detroit Pistons and what's happening with the Pistons. And also the XFL. And how successful the second go-around for the XFL can be for Mr. Vince McMahon. And some interesting rules that have been released to the public. You don't want to miss that conversation, all right? And there are a few Spartans, former Michigan State football players, who have made their way to a few XFL teams out there. So that's also a very intriguing storyline for all of you Michigan State football fans out there. Okay, so a lot to get to. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. That is the number to call. You can also weigh in courtesy of the live stream. Simply watch the live stream at facebook.com/WKAR News. And you can weigh in and comment below that live stream. And you can also tweet us. You can tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. All right, let's start here. News has broke that Cassius Winston, the Michigan State senior point guard leader for the Spartans, he has returned to the national spotlight coming off his big weekend against Michigan. It has earned him now the honor of being called the Naismith Player of the Week. The senior was named the Naismith Trophy Men's Basketball Player of the Week yesterday after averaging 26.5 points, 7.5 assists, 3 boards, and a steal in home victories over Illinois and Michigan. He was also named the Big Ten Player of the Week yesterday for the first time this season and the sixth time in his career. 6'1", 185-pound point guard, scored a career-high 32 points on 11 of 19 shooting with 9 assists in that Sunday 87-69 dub over the Maize and Blue. He had 25 points and 6 assists in Thursday's 76-56 win over the Illini. So no surprise there as Cassius Winston just went off last week. The Naismith Player of the Week and the Big Ten Player of the Week. Okay, the Detroit Tigers crossed one of their 5 arbitration-eligible contract situations off the list last night, agreeing to a 1-year deal with righty starting pitcher Michael Fulmer. Now, the deal was worth $2.8 million, according to a person with knowledge of the situation. Fulmer, who turns 27 years old in March, did not pitch in 2019 after undergoing right elbow ligament reconstruction surgery, better known as Tommy John surgery, in late March of 2019. Typical recovery time is 12 to 15 months, meaning Mike could return to the Tigers in the second half of the 2020 year. But the Tigers get that deal done, and Michael Fulmer is still a member of the ball club. Okay, the Detroit Pistons are in action tonight. 2 bad NBA teams going at it at 7 p.m. as the Pistons travel to Cleveland to take on the Cleveland Cavaliers. The Pistons sit at 13-24 on the season, and the Cavs are 10-26 on the year. Just if you like bad basketball, tune in tonight at 7 p.m. All right, Dwight.
Does that mean you will not be tuning in?
No, I watch every Pistons game. That's
okay.
I'm the exception to that right there, Jack. I am a diehard fan and diehard in every sense of the word. So I like bad basketball, I guess, and I will be watching that miserable, miserable game. Okay, Dwight Howard of the L.A. Lakers. The L.A. Lakers center, he will reportedly participate in the NBA slam dunk competition for the first time since 2009. That's a return to the event that few fans foresaw and possibly ever
craved, or fewer craved, I should say. The NBA received a commitment from Howard for this year's contest in Chicago. That's according to The Athletic. And Howard participated in the event three straight times from 07 to 09, winning the 08 contest with a series of creative dunks that included one with a Superman cape. That's probably his most famous dunk, in which Shaq passed on his Superman nickname to Dwight Howard. So Dwight Howard, who has been playing very well this season for the LA Lakers, I think he has had a resurgence in his career due to just kind of, you know, hindsight is 2020. And I think Dwight Howard has looked at his career in the past and looked at his lack of effort and said, you know what, look, man, I don't have many years left playing the game of basketball, so let me just try and give more effort than I've been giving. And he's been playing awesome. So he will return to the NBA slam dunk contest, which has been ho-hum for many, many years, in part because, look, the superstars just don't participate in this thing. There is a lack of competitiveness when it comes to this contest. And I don't know, Jack, I feel like we've seen just about every dunk in human that a human can do on planet Earth now. I feel like you hit a ceiling at a certain point, right?
No, I absolutely agree. And you know what? I was in fifth or sixth grade when Blake Griffin jumped over the Kia, and I don't think anything's ever going to top that in my mind. So, no, I pretty much agree with you. Does Dwight Howard have a ring? I don't believe he does he?
No, he got close, though. I believe. Yeah. Remember, he was in NBA Finals with the Orlando Magic, I believe, right? With
Stan Van Gundy. Okay, so it would have been like 7 or 8 years ago. Yeah, Stan Van did make a finals with the Magic, didn't he? Okay,
exactly.
So Dwight Howard would have been on that team.
I believe he was on that team, and they came just short. I forget who they played that season, but no, Dwight Howard does not have a ring. He has a really good opportunity, though, this year. The Lakers seem to be a really serious competitor, but I still believe that the LA Clippers are going to win this whole thing. We'll see, though. That's why you play the game. All right. The Detroit Red Wings will play host to the Montreal Canadiens tonight at 7:30 p.m. The Wings are 10-30-3, and the Canadiens are 18-18-7. So do you like bad hockey, Jack?
Absolutely not. I will not be tuning into this game. You stole my thunder. I was just about to make that comment.
Oh, were you?
Yeah.
Exactly. I had to repay the favor there. So you're not going to be tuned into that tonight.
Absolutely not.
Yeah. So that one, if you care, is at 7:30 p.m. That will be a 7:30 puck drop tonight. Also, some news coming out of the camp of the Detroit Lions, as the Lions made their first staffing hires when announcing that they had promoted Hank Fraley to offensive line coach and staffer Billy Yates to assistant offensive line coach this morning. Now, Hank, he spent the past season as an assistant offensive line coach under Jeff Davidson, who announced that he was stepping away from football last week. Now, with these two spots filled, the team still has staff openings at defensive coordinator, special teams coordinator, linebackers, and defensive backs coach, and some strength and conditioning positions. So there are a lot of openings, Jack, and you know, our very own Scott Pohl, he came in the door just moments before we turned on that red light for today's current sports, and he let me know that the Lions are apparently, I believe, interested or interviewing Brett Bielema. Can we confirm that?
Bielema actually said he's not interested in the Lions' defensive coordinator position. That was yesterday.
That was yesterday?
Yes.
Okay, so Bielema shot him down then.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me if he were to go to the Giants now, because as you're about to announce, a couple new coaching hires, one of whom is a former Patriot, so that landing spot would make a lot of sense. But no, as it seems right now, Bielema will not be joining the Lions staff.
Gotcha. All right, well, we'll see what the Lions do with those vacancies. Okay, Tom Brady, who is now, he is gone fishing along with the rest of the New England Patriots players and coaching staff due to that loss to the Tennessee Titans on Wild Card weekend. But Tom Brady, he is starting his offseason, again, earlier than many expected this year. For the first time since 09, Brady's Pats were knocked out of the playoffs on Wild Card weekend and are now looking at an offseason that is filled with a number of question marks regarding Brady's future. While only time will tell on what Brady will ultimately decide to do in the next phase of his illustrious NFL career, the six-time Super Bowl champ will likely use this early start to the offseason to heal up. It was apparent throughout the tail end of the year, you could see it, that Brady was dealing with some kind of an injury. Well, reportedly, it was a right elbow situation. He was seen on a number of occasions trying to snap his arm loose at practices and during games. He has also been seen wearing a rather large ice wrapping on that arm after games. Now, on top of that, it appears that Brady was also dealing with another ailment. Mike Giardi of the NFL Network, he reports that the 42-year-old QB also had a foot injury that he suffered at some point in December. Now, this does seem to offer some context as to why Brady, who was listed on the Week 14 injury report with a toe injury, why he wore different cleats down the stretch. It could be that he was trying out different footwear to help deal with that injury. So it should be noted that the quarterback was back in his typical pair of Under Armour cleats for that AFC wild card loss to Tennessee. But Brady was banged up, and it doesn't help when you are an aging quarterback. Going to be very interesting to see what he does with this offseason. Will he return to the Patriots organization? I got some thoughts on that in just a moment. And this is a wild story that, if true, really upsets me because DraftKings is something I've tried out a time or three.
I was going to say, if it really upsets you, I think you're a little salty here.
I'm very salty. I'm very salty, Jack, because DraftKings is investigating a couple from The Bachelor in Paradise show. I don't even watch that show. Have you watched that show, Jack?
No, I was pretty disappointed to see this as part of the headliners. I had to do a little bit of research and realize you were talking about the DraftKings thing, to be honest with you.
Oh, exactly. I would not be talking about The Bachelor in Paradise. I mean, come on now. Come on now. But DraftKings is investigating this couple from this show for allegedly cheating to win a $1 million fantasy sports prize. Jade Roper Tolbert. He met and married, married her husband, Tanner Tolbert, on the show in 2016. Now, this past weekend, they both participated in the NFL playoff contest on DraftKings. But when word got out that Jade Tolbert won the $1 million prize, other players raised objections. Now, this is something that I saw flash on my phone, Jack. DraftKings, $25 entry, $1 million prize, go and get your cheese. And I said, no, I don't have $25 to just waste. So I overlooked it. But I was curious to see who won this thing. And apparently these two took home the cheese. They were quick to point out that she and her husband submitted 150, this is why it's so unfair, submitted 150 picks, each with no overlap in the lineups, doubling their chance of winning over other players who were limited to 150 picks apiece. This is what DraftKings said in a statement yesterday. Quote, "We take the integrity and fairness of our contest very seriously and are looking into this matter." And apparently, Tanner Tolbert, he is like some fantasy sports guru, and he really knows his stuff. So Jade and Tanner kind of tag-teamed this thing, and they ended up hitting on a lineup that worked and won the $1 million prize.
Al, I hate to break it to you, because apparently this is very near and dear to your heart. I guarantee you these are not the only two people that colluded together to double their amount of picks.
Very true. There are many simulators that you can use out there, Jack. But, man, you got to have a lot of money to just enter 150 different lineups.
Well, I mean,
$25 a piece. My goodness.
Oh, they submitted 150 lineups each?
Yes.
That is a lot of money. I was just going to say because that's only $50 between a married couple. But, Wow. Okay.
No. They got some moolah to spend. Okay. I guess The Bachelor paid them very well. What is that? ABC? The ABC paid them very well. They just got
money. I don't know, but some quick math says that is $7,500 they put down on this, 25 times 300.
$7,500 for an opportunity to win $1 million.
It's a good investment, though, if we're being honest.
Yeah, exactly.
Because, you run 300 simulations, gives yourself a pretty good shot, I would say.
Very, very good shot. That's why it's so unfair. I'm submitting one. Just
all right, but there's nothing barring you from submitting 150.
My bank account.
Okay, but that's not DraftKings' fault.
Exactly, it's not. I did, though, I'm proud of myself, over Christmas break, just for the heck of it, I played like an NBA contest, and it was like a dollar entry, and took home $25. So
there you go.
Most I've ever won, $75.
Is that the greatest accomplishment in your fantasy career?
Ooh, you know what would have been if I would have took home Jack Ebling's fantasy football championship. I came in second place. But no. Again, the $75 win that I had, that prize. No. Well, yeah, in fantasy sports, I did hit big on Tiger Woods winning the Masters as well.
Yeah, so, you got a free lunch from me.
Yeah, that's exactly what I mean. Wink, wink.
Do we still have that bet, by the way, about who's going to go first overall in this NFL draft? Because you said it was going to be Chase Young. I say it's going to be Joe Burrow.
Why not? If I said it, yeah.
It's, okay, cool. So I'll get it back then. There you go.
And my thoughts have kind of shifted on that, but I gotta, you gotta die with it now. So yeah, that's still on, Jack. Gosh, you just had to remind me of that. All right.
Well, I'm 0-2 in bets against you, so this will probably give me a chance to get one back. Joe Burrow's now probably going to throw out his shoulder in the combine or something, and now he won't be the first overall pick.
Let's hope not, man. I don't want to see Joe go out like that. But that's probably the only reason. that's the only scenario in which I don't see Joe Burrow becoming the number one overall pick now. But, hey, I said Chase Young. I'm a man of my word. I got to stick with that now. And also, man, it has been pretty wild to see what's happening in the NFL right now. Is many head coaches are finding new homes in the National Football League. Former Baylor head coach Matt Rhule, he is taking the Carolina Panthers head coaching job. Rhule was supposed to interview today with the Giants. He didn't make it there. His deal was reportedly worth 7 years, $60 million. Also, the Giants are finalizing a deal to make Patriots wide receivers coach Joe Judge their next head coach. That's coming from ESPN. The deal was in the works as of last night. This is coming from Adam Schefter, which is another reason Matt Rhule took the Panthers head coaching job. So that's interesting there between the Panthers and the Giants. Judge was also the Patriots special teams coordinator this season. So there you have that drama. Wild, wild stuff happening in the NFL right now. If you want to chime in on it, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. I'm asking the Detroit Lions fans out there, what do you think the Lions should do in the offseason to shore up that what happened last year doesn't happen next season? Would love to hear from you guys as well. Also, you can comment at our Facebook page at facebook.com/WKARnews. And you can tweet us. Tweet the show at WKAR News or tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR.
Short by Eric Rowe. Going to go with Henry. Henry in trouble.
What are they doing?
No chance.
What are they doing?
And the Patriots are going to get the football with around 18, 17 seconds to go and three timeouts.
It's just going to be a pulled situation where the guard and a kick out. New England's more than prepared for it.
A face mask here?
Yeah, well, it was a little bit.
A little.
But now you're one pass play away.
I don't like getting people out.
Mariota looking for an option. In trouble, and he gets taken down by Adam Butler. Well above their average over the full course of the game.
It's a great catch last week by Decker in Kansas City, though, wasn't it?
Yep, it was the game winner, but look at this. Speaking of a catch, rookie Jean-Francois is able to catch up with Mariota in the backfield. And suddenly it is second and 23. And Mariota's in trouble again, and he's decked at the two this time. Marquise Flowers. He flags and penalties as they have first downs of the game. Again, no time for Mariota. He is sacked for the fifth time tonight. We'll be right back.
happy Tuesday to all of you beautiful people out there. I just briefly want to comment on what occurred in the NFL wild card weekend. It was pretty fun to watch. Some very entertaining games. What you just heard was the demise of the New England Patriots over the weekend as Tom Brady and the Pats, they fell to the Tennessee Titans in the late game Saturday night. And the Patriots have gone fishing. And, you know, it's so weird. What a wild, wild card weekend as the Titans, the Vikings, and the Seahawks all won on the road in a weekend that included two overtime games and also the exit of two Hall of Fame QBs in Tom Brady and Drew Brees. Just very weird stuff. And over the course of these 2 days, the NFL really saw its playoff field upended. You know, the number three seed in both conferences being sent home by the number six seeds. While each game was decided by a single score, it was a wild card weekend. It really was, again, it was crazy to watch that. And set up a divisional round for next weekend, or this weekend, I should say now, that looks a bit different than a lot of people predicted. Jack, I don't know if you're like me, but I was very surprised that the Patriots fell to the Titans. I didn't expect that. And I was very shocked, pleasantly surprised, at what the Minnesota Vikings were able to do against the New Orleans Saints and Kirk Cousins. Man, you got to feel good for Kirk Cousins, right? I mean, watching the former Michigan State quarterback great do what he did, finally get that monkey off of his back and win a playoff game, all of the criticism about Kirk Cousins, he can't win the big game, deliver that amazing throw to Adam Thielen that set up the game-winning touchdown. Was it a push-off? Wasn't it? That's debatable left and right. I think the referees got it right. They were both going at it a bit. Got to let that one go. Touchdown, Minnesota, game over. And Kirk Cousins with the whole, you like that in the locker room. That was pretty cool. And then when he was asked about it, I believe it was Michelle Tafoya who asked him and interviewed him after the game about, you know, getting this monkey off of his back and all of the criticism and left and right. And he just kind of just shrugs it off and gives all of the credit to his teammates, you know, to the defense, to the special teams, to the coaching staff. Gotta love Kirk Cousins. He is all class. And how about Marshawn Lynch? That was another big takeaway that I had this past weekend. I mean, they basically got beast mode off the street, Jack. And, you know, he's got at least one more, I don't know, beast quake in him, dude. He looked great. He looked great over the weekend. Lynch, he retired. He was retired as recently as like 2 weeks ago. He had a flying touchdown in that week 17 loss against San Francisco. And then, you know, he powered his way into the end zone against Philly on a play in which he appeared to be stopped. And then he just kept churning those big lumberjack legs of his multiple yards short of just the goal line. And man, he was great. I mean, he proves to be a reliable source that, you know, Russell Wilson and that offense can go to in short yardage situations. Marshawn, and he also had a play. I remember watching him over the weekend. He had a play where he picks up the first down and he's going out of bounds and two defenders go at him and he shrugs one off with just one arm and throws him to the turf. Marshawn Lynch was fun to watch this past weekend, man.
Well, you said he was great. How would you define great? Because he had six carries for 7 yards.
Exactly. That's all you need from him, man. That's all you need. I'm not
a yard per carry?
They don't need Marshawn to go out there and be a 100-yard game kind of guy. They need him in short yardage situations to just, you know, get the job done, man. So he sets a tone when he's out there, I think. And that's what I saw over the weekend with him. So it was fun seeing him back out there and just playing football again. And, you know, I think it's, you know, when you look at the NFL and what happened this past weekend, you know, running backs, I think, you know, I remember having this debate last year, Jack, about the state of the running back in today's NFL and how running backs are kind of losing their value in today's league. But I tell you what, it helps when you got a great running back who can pick up yards in today's game as well. It just takes pressure off of your quarterback, especially a prime example of that is a guy like Kirk Cousins, who needs balance. If it's all on the arm of Kirk Cousins, he struggles. He needs Dalvin Cook to go out there and pick up yards. So, you know, looking at this past weekend, looking at how running backs performed, don't rule out running backs just yet. Dalvin Cook playing, again, a huge role in that win over the Saints. He totaled 130 yards from scrimmage and two touchdowns. That was big. Devin Singletary, you know, a rookie out of Florida Atlantic.
Great player.
Isn't he great?
Little guy, great player.
Right, he had 134 yards from scrimmage for Buffalo, yet lost due to that crazy comeback. I'm still figuring that thing out with Houston. I don't know how Houston came back.
Because the Bills let him come back.
Right.
I mean, like, exactly. Deshaun Watson made great plays, obviously, down the stretch, but if you're the Bills and you're up 16-0 in the second half, it's inexcusable to lose that game.
Inexcusable, man. And for Houston, you know, Duke Johnson, two key blocks on a two-point conversion, and then reeled off an 18-yard catch and run on 3rd and 18, if you remember. So, hey, man, if you got a running back who is a guy who not only can rip you on the ground but also can catch, it's very, very valuable in today's league.
No, 100%. It just, you know, when you talk about running backs being devalued a little bit, it just depends, you know, the type of investment you're making to get your running back. Because, you know, as great as Saquon Barkley is, and he's going to be a Hall of Famer if he continues on this trend, saying that even after only being in the league for 2 years, I would never draft a running back second overall the way the Giants drafted Saquon, because you can find a guy like Dalvin Cook in the second round. So, you know, they've been devalued a little bit in the sense that I wouldn't draft one high. I probably would and draft one in the first round, period, even though, you know, great players like Josh Jacobs and Sonny Michel and Nick Chubb were all first round picks. You know, there certainly is a lot to be said for a bell cow running back who can, you know, set up the play action, set up your passing game. But, you know, at the same time, a running back can only be as effective as the offensive line in front of him. And I think that's probably also contributed to devaluing the position a little bit. But I agree with you all in all is that, you know, if you want to be a great team, you want to be a contender, it really helps to have a bell cow running back, a Dalvin Cook, a Zeke Elliott, you know, a guy like that.
Definitely. Final take here before we hit our first break and bring on Deshaun Tate. Tom Brady. I was texting Scott Pohl yesterday, and we were just going back and forth about the future of Tom Brady and what's going to happen now with Tom and his future with the New England Patriots. And I hit Scott back with the text that said, look, I think that when you look at how this season played out, despite the inevitable that Tom is getting older and he isn't the same player he was in his prime, we all know that, this is still a New England Patriots team that won their division, still made the playoffs. I think, and also you look at that offense, I think that really the only weapon that Tom Brady had, other than when they briefly had Antonio Brown for a cup of coffee, was Julian Edelman. And Julian Edelman was banged up. So you got an aging quarterback who's throwing to one guy, doesn't have weapons. I said to myself, if they can get more talent offensively, Tom Brady will come back for another go with Bill Belichick. But when I read what Tom had to say, I believe it was the Monday morning quarterback piece with Peter King, and Tom said, Jack, that, look, I still want to play football. I'm paraphrasing here. I still want to play football. Whether it be with the New England Patriots, great. But if there's other teams out there, that's great as well. When he opened the door for that conversation to be had, that maybe, just maybe, he's not in a Pats jersey next year, I'm now kind of leaning toward Tom being elsewhere next season. I didn't think, when I read that he said that, it opens up that room for possibility, and I think that relationship between him and Bill has, hey, sometimes in relationships, Jack, you got to learn how to say goodbye. You got to know when you've reached the end of the road, as Boys to Men says, right?
No, absolutely.
And I think they've reached the end of the road right now. That's what it seems like, right?
Absolutely. I agree with you, because there's no way Tom Brady's retiring this offseason. He's got a couple more years left, at least he thinks he does. And you know what I think is going to happen is Tom Brady is going to go on the open market. He's going to get a big contract from somebody. You know what I mean? Like, you know, even the Chicago Bears, you know, the Oakland Raiders moving to Las Vegas, John Gruden, obviously. Someone's going to offer him $30 million. And the New England Patriots are not going to match that. And then at that point, I think he's going to be out the door. And you know what? You talked about the relationship between Brady and Belichick, and obviously they've still been able to win together. They won the Super Bowl last year, but you'd have to think it's taken a little bit of a hit, at least, with, you know, the Jimmy G drama from 2 years ago, where Brady went above Belichick and asked Kraft to get Garoppolo out of New England.
We talked about that yesterday after the show.
Yep.
You know, and yeah, that's got to... That doesn't just leave, right? That's something that you probably think about from time to time, and that may be raining a lot in your head during this time. So we'll see what happens. But, man, Tom opened the door for the possibility of him playing elsewhere. I just reading that quote, that was huge. That's huge to me, at least, trying to read the tea leaves.
Well, I mean, there's no way he retires, right? You don't think there's any chance he's retiring this offseason.
He's still got that competitive juice in him.
Right.
You can tell.
So.
You know? He wants to still play the game.
Right, and so when you look at it that way, this is the first time Brady's ever been an unrestricted free agent in his career, which, I mean, at that point, you'd have to be open to playing for somebody else because the Patriots have never let it get to this point with Tom Brady. They've always extended him prior to this. Yep. The fact that they haven't already, you know, probably speaks that Belichick might be ready to move on from Brady.
For sure.
And I agree with you. I think Tom Brady's played his last game for the New England Patriots.
What say you? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Was that, in fact, the final game that we saw Tom Brady play in a Patriots jersey on Saturday night? Call in, weigh in. Also, weigh in, courtesy of Facebook.com/WKAR News. Comment below the live stream, and you can tweet us. Tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR, or tweet the show at WKAR News. When we come back, we'll talk some college basketball, the craziness that has been men's college hoops this year. Deshaun Tate of CBS Radio in Atlanta will join us in just a moment. We'll be right back. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. We just finished up a chat about the wild, wild weekend that was the NFL and wild card weekend. And you know what else is pretty wild? And I feel like we mention this every single season, at least for the like past 5 to 7 years. Men's college basketball is wild. And it is so hard to predict what is going to happen on any given week in college hoops. We are seeing upsets left and right. You know, I look at a team like, you know, Ohio State. That's a nice example how things can go from one place to another rather quickly. I mean, the Buckeyes starting 9-0, 25-point win, I believe, over Villanova. Another 20-plus win over North Carolina. They had a 30-plus win over Penn State. They spent time at number one. And then things go downhill. 2-3 in their past five games. Losses to multiple unranked teams, specifically Minnesota and Wisconsin. It's wild. Hard to predict. So to try and make sense of all of the craziness, all of the madness well before March, we now welcome Deshaun Tate, college basketball reporter, producer, and host out in Atlanta for CBS Radio. Deshaun, can you please sort this craziness out? What's up, my man?
Al DeBars Martin, appreciate you for having me per usual, man. Overly thankful and grateful for you to have me on. Happy 2020 to you. It's crazy, man, just to think about how wacky it is right now and so much parody. And I can't remember the last time. I know everybody likes to throw this cliche around saying, you know, there's 15 teams that can win it, 12 different teams that can win a national championship this year. And I always feel like there's still always just like a handful or so that can win the national championship. But this year is really one of those things. You know, somebody asked me, who's the best team in the country? I said, for the very first time ever in life, hopefully the very last time, you'll ask me a question like this. And I'll say, I really don't even know. So it's crazy to think about that as it is, but you know, it is definitely January madness, and as crazy as it is right now and unpredictable to say, you know, what things are, you know, going to come up. The season so far is going to set it up to be an even crazier March madness.
That is so true, Deshaun. And you know what? With the latest Associated Press top 25 rankings being revealed yesterday, and, you know, when you compare the AP top 25 to that of the coaches poll, as we did live on Current Sports yesterday, there's no movement. There's no difference, I should say, between the AP and the coaches poll when it comes to the top 10 teams. Do you have any problems with the current rankings? Is Gonzaga the number one team right now? Would you put them at numero uno right now?
Gonzaga is the most worthy right now to be at that number one spot. You know, everybody talks about, you know, the one loss that they did have, obviously, to Michigan. And, you know, that was a pretty bad loss because they got down by close to 30 and lost by just about that much. But when you start considering their wins that they have over some of the teams that they have them in, it's one of those things where they're the most deserving right now. But everybody's going to look at Gonzaga, you know, and I said that they're probably going to be the ones to hold the number one ranking down once they get to that point, because I didn't believe in a lot of the others that could hold on to that number one spot. All those things being said, everybody's going to point to the St. Mary's game, and I do understand that, but before they meet up with St. Mary's, they do have a date with a BYU team that is pretty doggone good, certainly good enough to beat Gonzaga.
What are the biggest problems, if any, that you have with the latest rankings, Deshaun?
I'm not sure that I really have any, to be quite honest with you. I really don't. I think everybody is right about where they need to be. If I had to say maybe one or two things, I'm not really sure exactly how Michigan State is ranked ahead of Kentucky when Kentucky beat them. And I know that Kentucky lost to, you know, to Evansville and to to Utah recently, and they dropped down in the rankings. I think that it should be closed in a little bit more. I'm not sure if Michigan State should be number 8, maybe a top 10, certainly a top 12 team, right up in that range. But I think that Kentucky should probably be a little bit higher considering their win over Louisville. They've got a really tough game that I'm going to be covering tonight against Georgia, who just beat a top 10 team in Memphis last week. That'll be really interesting. I know that Dayton doesn't necessarily have the resume, but that's probably one of the hottest teams in college basketball, a team that I do not want to play when March rolls around, that's for sure. And the Atlantic 10 is not a terrible conference by any means, but they have a top 5 pick, I like to think, in Obi Toppin when the draft rolls around in June. And then last but certainly not least, maybe Auburn feels like they should be a little bit higher. I think they're right around where they belong because they're one of the two undefeated teams left in the country. And then I know that there's another one I had a couple little gripes about, but I think for the most part, Maryland. Maryland doesn't have any significant wins. I know they got a big one tonight against Ohio State, but to be considered right now at the number 12 spot, it's hard for me to believe that they're even a top 20 team, to be honest with you.
Ah, gotcha. Okay, and you mentioned Dayton. Dayton moved up 5 spots this week to the 15th ranking. And the biggest drop that we saw was Memphis dropping 12 spots to 21. And the biggest leap that we saw in the AP was Florida State getting bumped up 8 spots to number 10 in the nation. Okay, let's get to the Spartans now. I know you were glued to your television checking out what Cassius Winston was able to do on Sunday afternoon inside of the Breslin Center. You know, we have been praising this young man pretty much all year, especially when it comes to what he did on Sunday, having his first 30-point game in his career, leading Michigan State to that blowout win over Juwan Howard and the Wolverines, and playing, of course, with that heavy heart due to the tragedy of his brother. It's amazing watching Cassius go out there and do what he does on a game-by-game basis. What were your takeaways? What were your thoughts watching Cassius Winston put on that show on Sunday, Deshaun?
I think that it was pretty much everything that I expected, and you got to forgive my dogs in the background, man. They get really excited when we start talking about Michigan State and college basketball. But outside of that fact, you know, this is a team that I always felt that the other teams would be the ones that would peak a little bit early, where Michigan State typically doesn't play their best brand of basketball around, you know, the early parts of the season, more so start playing during the later parts, and that's kind of what we're seeing, the typical Michigan State. But, you know, when you start looking at what Cassius Winston has brought to the table for this team, my biggest concern for him would be to get a little bit worn down. That's why I think it was really big in the game. I think against Western Michigan, where he didn't play and we had the opportunity to see Foster Lawyer get in the rotation and play quite a bit, that was really big for the team. And, you know, but when you start talking about the way that he performed, when you start talking about, you know, I've heard so many people say that, you know, outside of Magic Johnson, this is the second best point guard I've ever seen in the school history, and I'm not sure what that says about Mateen or Scott Skiles or Caleb Lucas, but he certainly put on a great performance, one of the best that there's ever been. I heard Tom Izzo say in that building at the Breslin Center, you know, but in the same token, down the stretch, there's still going to need to be a lot of improvement in terms of production and contribution from the guys that surround him consistently. Your Aaron Henry's, we're getting, you know, comfortable with that jump shot. Xavier Tillman has been playing better, but all of those things being considered, I still want to see this team play a team on the road in the Big Ten as if they're the Michigan Wolverines. I still need to see that from this team, because all those things sound really good. But when you're in the Breslin Center and you're playing Michigan and you came into the season ranked number one in the preseason polls, you're supposed to do what you did, especially without Isaiah Livers.
Hey, man, you are preaching to the choir, Deshaun. So there is a bit of hesitation, just like myself, when it comes to where this team is right now. Not saying that this isn't a great basketball team right now. I mean, Michigan State is playing some of the best basketball, arguably the best basketball in the nation right now. But you want to see more, just like myself, Deshaun, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Moving on, looking at, because this is also something we kind of went back and forth about, you know, the production or lack thereof alongside Xavier Tillman and Cassius Winston, getting consistent production from guys like Aaron Henry. We saw Mark Rocket Watch returning from his injury. He has looked more confident in his role. You did touch on Foster Lawyer. Foster Lawyer, I believe, him getting big minutes, especially that game against Western Michigan when Cassius didn't play, it did something, I believe, for Foster's confidence. Have you changed your tune about that a bit, or do you still need to see more in that regard as well, Deshaun?
I definitely need to see a little bit more. I mean, granted, you know, he has looked a lot more comfortable talking about Foster Lawyer. And, you know, I've always been the guy that has been, you know, the one that's joked and said, you know, he is the equivalent of Steven Izzo sometimes when he's out there. Sometimes I see a little bit too much dribble handoff and going east-west instead of going north where the basket is. But he's getting a little bit more comfortable. The part that concerns me, and not about not only him, but about everybody on this team whose last name is not Winston or Brown, is consistent jump shooting from the outside. I know that they're going to, because of the great coach that they have, they're going to shoot well from the field. That's a huge part of coaching and a huge part of having Cassius Winston at the point guard spot. But I think that, you know, the verdict, if you will, is still kind of out on Foster Lawyer, along with other guys. And my personal opinion, it's the same way that it is for Xavier Tillman, where you're going to match up against some of the best bigs in the country or underrated bigs in the country. We start talking about Coffee Coburn on the road and John Teske on the road and, you know, Daniel Oturu on the road. I mean, there's some really good power forward / centers that play in the Big Ten this year. Jalen Sticks Smith is another one. And so I definitely like to see what this team is going to look like on the road, that he can be a person that can go in, because there's no Nick Ward to defer to. There's no Kenny Goins to defer to. And you've got the big target on your back now if you're Xavier Tillman. So I like the way that he's playing for now. But, again, like I said, I still need to see a little bit out of him and a little bit more out of him and Foster Lawyer as well.
Deshaun Tate of CBS Radio in Atlanta. Two more questions for you, Deshaun, before we get you out of here. Michigan State right now is still the lone undefeated team in the Big Ten Conference? What team?
Say it louder, Al, for the people in the back.
Exactly right. I'm curious, though. It's still early. What team or teams are the biggest threat to the Spartans not possibly winning the Big Ten?
Number one, let me say this. First of all, I think that that team is Michigan State. I think that they're the ones that can keep themselves from, not only meeting the expectation that they came in with at the beginning of the season, but exceeding that expectation. Outside of that, I think that the elephant in the room and the one that most people, the consensus would agree with is probably Ohio State. They'll be right there. Michigan is still a really good basketball team. And it's going to be kind of hard to say exactly who the best team is when this whole thing is said and done because of the simple fact that, you know, it's the toughest conference in the country, and you're going to get everybody's best shot when you're Michigan State. The team that wins the conference, to be honest with you, is probably going to have about four or five losses on their record, if not more, considering the amount that they took in the non-conference play. Including that, packaging that up with the ones that they're going to lose in conference play as well. But, I mean, those are the major ones, I would say. Michigan, Ohio State. I don't think that Maryland is in that conversation. And I know that there's probably a couple others, but you have to consider that there's going to be teams that you can't afford to take a night off. And I think that that's something that we're going to see out of not only Michigan State, but out of some other teams in the Big Ten as well, that there's going to be some games that you would assume that you're going to go in there and get a W, and that's not going to be the case.
Final question to Sean. Juwan Howard, he's had some really nice wins. This is still a team still trying to figure out itself. No excuse for Michigan, but they did not have Isaiah Livers on Sunday. What do you make of Juwan's first few games as the head coach of the Maize and Blue?
Well, I don't think they've been terrible. I mean, he's a new coach. He's obviously a rookie coach, and he's dealing with some guys that, you know, has come back from John Beilein's team that have been big, you know, for him to have in their rotation. But he's also working with some younger guys that he has stick in there, and the one guy from East Lansing and is drawing me a blank at this current
Brandon
moment.
Brandon Jones.
Correct. Brandon right. Johns, DeJulius is another player, guys that he's relying upon to kind of come in and contribute quite a bit and do some things and be in positions that they haven't had to be in before because they just didn't see the floor that often when John Beilein was there. But, you know, if people could say this and that or whatever they want about, you know, Isaiah Livers not playing. But make no mistake about it, Michigan State didn't have Joshua Langford either. For what that means, you know. So, in the same token, I still think that this is going to be a team that can be a really hard out, because the biggest question about Juwan Howard coming in for me was much like Penny Hardaway was last year. We know that he can recruit, and that's something that he's been doing a fine job of up to this point so far. But how good of a coach is he? And I think that he's shown that he is a significantly good coach and doing a very good job in his very first year in Ann Arbor.
All right. Well, as always, a very great job from you, Deshaun. You can follow Deshaun on Twitter at Tate's Take Hoops, T-A-T-E-S, and then Take Hoops. Follow NBA, prep, and, of course, all things college hoops. Deshaun, great job, man. We'll be in touch. And again, Happy New Year to you, my friend. Thank you.
Hey, thank you much, Al Martin. I appreciate it. And if you want to go through and make this whole Andre Drummond deal to the Hawks pass through, we'll talk about that on a later note. But if you want to go ahead and pass that through, I've got a couple expiring contracts up this way for you, some Evan Turners and some Chandler Parsons and some other guys that you can have get some money off your books.
Deshaun, I would love that deal. When that first hit the rumor mill, I was sitting there saying, please make this go through.
I second the notion, by the way.
Yeah, Jack likes that too. We like that. Thank you so much, Deshaun.
No doubt. Thank you, guys.
All right, let's hit our final break. We'll come back and put a bow on this Tuesday edition of Current Sports with a brief postscript of what Deshaun had to say concerning men's college hoops and the XFL and some interesting rules that will be implemented as the XFL tries to make another go at this football thing. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. We just finished up a chat with Deshaun Tate, college basketball expert out in Atlanta with CBS Radio. And I really had no problem with anything that Deshaun, you know, said, Jack. We always go back and forth and have some topic that we don't agree on, but I was pretty much on par with him with everything that he said. It's hard to put a finger on the pulse of what is happening in college basketball on any given night. There have been so many upsets. Right now, Gonzaga is that numero uno team, but that could change in the blink of an eye. Duke at number two. We saw Duke with Vernon Carey finishing with 24 points, 9 boards in Saturday's victory at Miami. And the Blue Devils, they take a 7-game win streak into tomorrow's game at Georgia Tech. So this is a big week. There are some big games happening in college hoops this week, and I think we'll see some more movement come new rankings when they're revealed on Monday. Jack, the XFL is coming. I'm going to have a more elaborate conversation on this come tomorrow's Current Sports, but the XFL is coming, and they released some interesting rule changes. I shouldn't say rule changes, because, again, this is the second go-around. The XFL, they had some really interesting some rules that were designed to bring more eyeballs to the television set, cater to offensive football and big hits and so on and so forth. They got like a shootout style overtime, each team getting 5 single play possessions on the 5-yard line. They've got 3 options after scoring a touchdown: a 1-point play from the 2-yard line, a 2-point play from the 3-yard line, and a 3-point play from the 10-yard line. They got a rule that allows 2-4 passes on 1 play. It's wild. It's wild. I tell you what, they've intrigued me. I'll just say that. I'll watch a few games.
Do they have any stipulations for when people stop watching and they inevitably go bankrupt before the end of the first year? Any rules in place for that?
I don't know, man.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, I think that, we'll see what happens. But I'll go through more of those rules tomorrow. They're fun, I tell you that. We'll see you Wednesday, folks. Happy hump day to you. And be easy, people.